I appreciate this opportunity to share the Word of God. I've been listening to the past two Wednesday nights. I've listened to them twice. Pastor Ron teaching on faith that works, and he talked about faith that works in the midst of unanswered prayer. How many of you have had some prayers that didn't quite get answered? Now, all my prayers get answered. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. And some prayers, I'm so glad he didn't answer the way I wanted him to answer. Because I prayed and I told him how he could answer the prayer. And it's what I wanted, but he didn't answer that way. And I was disappointed for a while. But now that I look back on it, oh, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer the way I wanted you to answer that prayer. But there's faith in the midst of unanswered prayer. And there's faith in the second, what was the next one? There's faith in the midst of failure. Let me just tell you, I failed some. I failed. I've been married to my wife for 41 years. This is my wife for 41 years. And we went together for 7 years before we got married. So we've been together a long time. But let me just say, I failed as a husband sometimes. I failed as a father. Don't have time to go into those stories, but I failed. I failed as a pastor. But thank God for faith in the midst of failure. My failures didn't tell my final story. Adam fell. Just almost instantaneous. He fell, but that didn't tell his final story. The second Adam tells his final story. And so I'm grateful that there's faith in the midst of failure. And tonight, we're going to talk about faith in the midst of abuse. Now, I'm grateful, Pastor Ron. Now, this message is not by accident. This was not just a good idea by Pastor Ron that came up with this series. This was on the heart of God. It's not an accident that you're here tonight to hear this message. Some of you need to hear it directly. You need to hear this word tonight from the Word of God. Some of you need to hear it for someone else tonight, because you're going to carry this message with you, and you're going to tell somebody else what we're going to share tonight about faith in the midst of abuse. But Pastor Ron didn't just say, well, this would be a good subject. The Holy Spirit put that in his heart. It's not a subject, I don't believe, and I pastored for 30 years, and I do not believe I gave a full service to this subject. This is the first time for me. I've talked about it, I've mentioned it, but I've not given a full service to it. And Pastor Ron, I'm grateful that you, when I contacted, said I was coming, I just wanted to come to your service, and you asked me if I would share this particular message. I believe it was the will of God that I do this for my sake as well as the people that are here, so I could study what the Word of God had to say. I began to look in the Word of God, and here I have a list of scriptures, over 100 scriptures that deal with abuse. I always wonder, well, what does the Bible say? Many of you wonder, does the Bible say anything about abuse? Over 100 scriptures right here. Don't have time to read them all. Don't have time to read most of them. But they're in the Word of God. We're going to talk about what is abuse. We're going to talk about what we should do, how should we believe in the midst of abuse, and what should we do. Just listen to this. 20 people per minute are physically abused, 10 million a year. 1 in 3 women are abused. 1 in 4 men are abused. 1 in 4 women, 1 in 7 men are victims of severe physical violence. 1 in 7 women, 1 in 18 men have been stalked by someone that led them to emotional fear that's gripped their heart. 20,000 phone calls a day are placed to domestic violence hotlines. Those are just the calls that are made. 20,000 a day. If there's a gun present in domestic violence, the increase for homicides, they increase by 500%. An intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes. Women between the age of 18 to 24 are the most common victims. 19% involve weapons. Higher rate of depression and suicide among the victims. Those who have suffered some kind of abuse are heavily depressed or even often commit suicide. You know, in the Metroplex, where I'm from, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, there was a 10-year-old little boy that had been bullied at his school. And he went to the school restroom and committed suicide. 10 years old. And I was taken back. Lord, what is going on in the world we live in? Because kids intimidated him, abused him, he thought the only way out is to take my life. 34% of those that are abused receive medical care for their, only 34% receive medical care for their injuries. One in five women, one in 71 men are raped in their lifetime. A half are raped by an acquaintance. One in 15 children are exposed to domestic violence. It costs this nation $8.3 billion a year to deal with abuse. And 21 to 60% of those that are abused in some way end up losing their jobs because they just can't work well after they're going through this abuse. Now, here's some more stats about children. Five children die every day due to abuse. One out of three girls, one out of five boys will be sexually abused before they reach the age of 18. 90% of victims know their perpetrator. 68% are abused by a family member. In 2012, 82.2% perpetrators were from the age of 18 to 44. In the U.S., more than four children die from child abuse and neglect on a daily basis. 70% are below the age of three. Boys and girls are victimized at the same rate. 2.9 million cases are reported each year. Those are just the ones that are reported. 59% of victims more likely to be arrested. Those that are victimized will probably go on to victimize others. And they will be arrested, placed in prison. 80% of 21-year-olds who were abused as children meet the criteria for psychological disorders. 14% of all men, 36% of all women in prison were abused as a child. Now, that's just talking about sexual abuse or physical abuse, but there's all kinds of abuse that we're going to be talking about. There's mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical, sexual, bullying, intimidation. Abuse is any action that intentionally harms or injures another person. To inflict physical or emotional harm or injury. To attack with words. Some of you have been abused just by what somebody said to you. Abuse is about control. I'm going to be in control. I'm going to control you. Anger mishandled. I often say this, that those that are abusers usually are the exploders. You know, when people get angry, anger is not the issue. It's how you deal with anger. And some people, the way they deal with anger, they become what we know as exploders. They just explode on everybody. You know anybody like that? You don't need to raise your hand. But when they get anger, that you know it. And you know it's coming. And they explode. And they feel so much better after they explode. Matter of fact, they feel good. And they think, oh, everything's great now. I got it off my chest. But they leave shrapnel in everybody else that's around them. And everybody else now is damaged because they're exploding. And most people that are abused are what we call imploders. They don't explode on the outside. You don't even know that they're hurting. But they implode on the inside. And you know what happens when you implode on the inside? You get physically ill, emotionally ill. Some of your sickness is not caused by something on the outside. It's caused by something on the inside. Anger that's gone awry. You've not dealt with it properly. And you've imploded on yourself. And these are the things that we want to deal with. We want to deal with these issues because the Bible is not silent about this. Some of you, maybe even here today, have been emotionally abused, verbal attacks, criticism, favoritism, manipulation, deceit, threats, withheld expressions of love. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword." Proverbs 18:14, "The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a crushed spirit?" And our words can crush someone's spirit. Proverbs 18:21, "Life and death are where? In the power of the tongue." It can bring life or it can bring death. Victims of abuse can be ensnared in a cycle that is very difficult to break. Those who are abused become abusers themselves often. Hurt people do what? Hurt people. Is abuse sin? According to the Bible, it is. Absolutely, it's sin. Because it goes against what God came to do. God so loved the world And he said, if you're going to be my disciple, they're going to know it by how you what? Love one another. So it is against the word of God. Abuse disregards others and is opposite of his command to love one another. Even in the law, Deuteronomy chapter 22, and I don't have time to go through all of these scriptures, but even God in the law protected women that were abused. He said, if a woman is abused and she cries out, she's sexually abused, and she cries out and no one is around to hear her, when it's found out, you won't do anything to her, but you'll take the man that has committed that abuse and you'll deal with him harshly. He will die because she cried out, but no one heard her. There's something about crying out. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. In the Bible, there are three incidents that women were attacked and sexually abused in the Bible. And I began to look those up, and we don't have time to turn to them, but in 2 Samuel chapter 13, Tamar was raped by her own half-brother. And Absalom, her brother, came and dealt with this half-brother that raped his sister. Genesis chapter 34, many of you know this story maybe. Jacob's daughter, Dinah, was raped by a neighboring ruler's son. And news got out that this happened. And that man, after he sexually abused her, his lust turned all of a sudden into, he thought was love. Oh, I love her so much. I want to marry her. And came to David's house. I want to marry this girl. And her brothers said, okay, we'll work out a deal. You're uncircumcised. We're going to work out this deal. If all of your men will be circumcised, then we'll allow you to marry our women and we'll marry your women. But we know what happened. These grown men were circumcised. And as they were recovering, Dinah's brothers came into the camp and killed all the men, because they had abused their sister. There is an unnamed concubine in Judges chapter 19 that was raped, and it caused such an uproar that it started a war in the tribes of Israel. Injustice was dealt with. When we talk about abuse, what should we believe? Well, let's go to the verse of Scripture. One of the verses of Scriptures I want to go to is Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to the top of the food chain here. I'm going to the one who it's prophesied would come and save the world, the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, as I look at Isaiah chapter 53 in my Bible, I all of a sudden is reminded of something. Pastor Ron and Brenda and my wife, we have something in common. What we have in common is last Friday night, we sent our son and his wife and our grandchildren to London. They moved to London. They felt called of God to move to London. I said, I noticed that in Isaiah 53 because they were over at our house for one of the last times the other day we were babysitting. And Valentine, little two-year-old, got a hold of my Bible, and she scribbled in Isaiah 53. But as I look at that, I'm reminded of my grandchildren. And it broke my heart to send them, but yet my heart was rejoicing that my children were obeying the voice of God as they moved to a foreign country. So we do have that in common with them. And we'll probably run into each other in London as we visit quite often. I'm going to India in April. My wife's going to stop off in London. So I'll make it to India. She'll make it to London. So Isaiah 53, verse 3. Now listen, talking about the coming Messiah. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, we come into church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday, and we worship Jesus, and he is worthy of our worship. But you understand that Jesus came to this earth to be abused. He was abused. He was rejected by his closest friends. And we come and we worship him, the one that was abused. He understands abuse. He went through it himself. But yet we sit next to someone that may be going through abuse, and we want to do like many did with Jesus. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Sometimes we just don't want to think about abuse. We don't want to think about the people sitting next to us maybe have been abused. We just don't want to deal with it. But yet Jesus knows what it's like for those that have been abused. For anybody in this room tonight, if you've been through any kind of abuse, Jesus, above all people, understand what you've gone through. He understands. He was abused. He was rejected. He said, the psalmist wrote these words, if it was my enemy, I could understand it, but it was my closest friends. And sometimes it's the people closest to you that may have abused you. In some ways, you might understand it, but not your closest friends. But Jesus, I want you to know, understand, what are we to believe? Believe this. Jesus knows from experience what you're going through. You're not hidden from his sight. He knows what's going on. Well, somebody might say, why did he allow this to happen? You know, we live in an evil world. We live in an evil world. There's evil going on. After the shooting that took place in Florida the other day, I just simply wrote a little blog that just says, we live in an evil world and people's hearts are evil, bent for destruction. And without Jesus, there is no hope. And it's not that Jesus says, hey, where was Jesus when I was abused? He was at the same place he was when his own son was abused. God sees. He knows. Psalm 55. There are several great psalms that if you are in the midst of abuse or you know someone, these are some great psalms, and I don't have time to read them all, but Psalm 55 says, give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint. I moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. They bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Many times those that have gone through any kind of abuse, oh, they wish they had wings of a dove. Let me get out of this situation. Then I would find rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and I would remain in the wilderness. Selah, pause and just think about that. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in this city. Day and night they go around in all its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is at its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, one who exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. The wickedness is their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let me tell you something. God hears the cry of your heart. Even when you can't put it in words, God hears the cry of your heart. And I promise you this, He will save you. And I promise you this, all things, even abuse, will work together for good because you love God, because you're called according to His purpose. Believe that. Can you believe that with me? That God sees it. God hears the cry of your heart. God knows what you're going through. You go over to the next Psalm, Psalm 56. Verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Verse 8, you number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? No tear is ever wasted. God takes your tears. They're in His bottle. And your tears cry out to Him. He sees the tears. He sees the cry. He hears the moaning. He knows what you're going through. You number my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know. Listen to this. This is over in the next verse. Verse 9. This I know because God is for me. Listen to me. God is for you. You may wonder, God, do you hear me? Are you really there? I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, God is for you. He's on your side. He sees what's going on, and He is going to deliver you. Believe me. Believe this. God sees your tears. God is for you. You're not alone, though you may feel lonely. If God is for you, guess what? If God is for you, then the church should be for you. Listen, I know as a pastor, there have been times I've dealt with people and children have gone through abuse, and I dealt with that privately, but I don't know that we've ever talked about it publicly, but because in recent months and weeks, it's come to the forefront. Hashtag me too. And now people are talking about it. You know why? You know what? I almost want to tell people, you need to be thanking the intercessors that evil is now being exposed. It's come to the surface. I think that's because people have prayed. Lord, uncover the evil that's going on in our world. And God has uncovered this particular evil. And it's come up. And now God is trying to say, now, let's do something about that. Let's do something about that. Who can do something about that? Now, the politicians, you can pass law after law. If law is not going to touch somebody's heart, the only one who can do something about it is Jesus. His church can help people. Amen. Jesus can change an ugly heart. God is for, believe me, God is for you. What should you do in the midst of abuse? If you're being abused, now listen to this. I want you to get this now. If you're being abused, listen, you've got to speak up. You've got to speak up. You know, David was being abused by Saul, and he spoke up to Jonathan, Saul's son. He spoke up. He says, Jonathan, your dad wants to kill me. What's going on here? He spoke up. Then, as your pastor has already said, David began to run. But if you're being abused, I encourage you, please speak up. Deuteronomy 22 says, if the woman who's being abused cries out, got to speak up. Glory. If you're being physically abused, listen to this. If you're being physically abused, let me say something to you. Right from the pulpit, can I say something to you? Get out. Don't stay in that situation. Don't stay in a situation where you're physically abused and it could lead to great injury to you. Yes. Amen. Many years ago, I had a lady that I was dealing with doing counseling, and she was in an abusive situation. I said, well, you need to get away from that. And she did. And she got into counseling with her husband, and some months later felt like it's time. I'm going to go back to him. She had a little boy. She went back to her husband, It was sometime after I heard on a news report in a community right close to us in Irving, Texas, that there had been a murder for hire. And I got the phone call just a little later on. The woman that I had done counseling with had returned to her husband, and her husband had hired someone to come in some night and kill her. And I did the funeral and often thought about that. She thought it was safe, but it was unsafe. And if you're in an abusive situation, you've got to speak up. You've got to, if it's very dangerous, you've got to get out. And there are places you can go. You've got to seek safety. It is biblical to seek safety. It's biblical. David sought safety from Saul when he was being abused. Jesus was about to be murdered one day before it was time. The religious people wanted to throw him off a cliff. You know what he did? It says he hid in the crowd. Paul the apostle was going to be murdered by some Jewish leaders, and his disciples hid Paul. Put him in a basket and hit him. He said, go hide. They want to kill you. Listen, it's not wrong. You're standing in faith when you say, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to get out of this situation. And there are places you can go. And the church, we've got to step up to help people. Because people need help. Not just women, but men too. I had a man I was dealing with some years ago, singing in the choir at Church on the Rock. He was singing there. He was a kind of little meek little man, but he married a woman. It was a kind of a stout woman. And he came to me one day. He said, Pastor, I'm going to have to leave my wife. I said, what? I got to leave my wife. Why? He says, I'm so tired of getting chased around the house with a butcher knife. I said, you need to get out. Because she would have won that battle. But it happens not only to women, but it happens to men. But especially if it happens to children, we can't sit back and just let it go. Joyce Myers talks about how her mother just turned a blind eye to the abuse she was under. And there's no greater person that knows how to talk about abuse than Joyce Myers. And I encourage you, if you are in that situation, you get everything she's got and let her. She goes, the reason God, when I ask him, why did you let this happen? He said, Joyce, it turned out for my good and for your good. She goes, it's the platform that I use now to touch millions and millions of life and see millions of women set free from the abuse that I had to endure before it got that bad. And so, what do we do? If you're being abused, speak up. If you're being physically abused, get out. Get the help that you need. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man or woman foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It is time that we as a church not hide ourselves from what's going on in the world that we live in. Abuse is all around us. And to all of you that may be abusers, and there may be some abusers in here, or somebody you know that is an abuser, let me just say something. God loves you too. Glory. He's for you. Right. Often abusers abuse because they've been abused. First, you've got to admit it to yourself. I'm an abuser. Secondly, you've got to admit it to the Lord. You can just go back and read Psalm 32. I don't have time to read it, but you just got to admit it to the Lord. I realize what I am. I'm an abuser. Like Jacob realized for the first time who he was. I'm a trickster. I'm a swindler. Sometimes you just got to realize it. Okay, this is who I am. And then you got to admit it to a friend. I think it's important to confess your faults one to another. And there are friends in this church. Your pastor is a good friend. Ken Bent's a good friend. There's other people in this. They're good friends. And you can go to them and say, let me tell you what's been going on. And fourth, and there will come a time that you confess that to those you've abused. And God will bring healing in this process. But we can stand in faith in the midst of abuse because God was not afraid to talk about it. Jesus wasn't afraid to go through it. Because he knew you would be here. living in this old world. And he went through that for you. Everybody just say, for me. Whatever you're going through, he did it for you. He went through that for you. He was bruised for our iniquities. That means he bled on the inside for your iniquities. That's the tendencies you have in your life. And tonight, I want to pray for you. I just want to stop right here and I want to pray for you. And listen to me, if you're in this room right now, please don't hesitate to speak up. Don't hesitate to get out. Don't hesitate to get help. And we, the church, we're going to do better at being the helper to help you, men, women, and children, to eradicate this inside the church. It happens in the church. Father, I just come. I'm so grateful for your word. Jesus, we're so grateful for you. Lord, that you were bruised and beaten and rejected, chastised. Lord, we hid from you, but you did all of that for us. And Lord, for somebody in this room tonight, Lord, let them realize what you've done for them. Lord, you did that for them so they could be set free, so they could be healed. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room tonight, Lord, that's been crying out, wondering if you've heard their prayer. Lord, you heard them. That's why this message is being preached tonight. You heard the cry of their heart. That's why they're here. And Lord, for any abuser that may be in this room or may hear this message, Lord, I pray that you would heal their heart, heal their wounds. Lord, restore them to you, Lord, I pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we cover our children. We cover every man, every woman, every teenager. Those that are being bullied, Lord, at school, we cover them tonight. And Lord, we pray for freedom from this abuse. And let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.